Have your Bibles, you can be turning to the book of Psalms, chapter 42. Psalms, chapter number 42. I would ask you to stand tonight if you're willing and able. The psalm is entitled "To the Chief Musician, Mashal, for the Sons of Korah. As the heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, Where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I had gone with the multitude, I went with them to the house of God, with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God. For I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember Thee from the land of Jordan and of the hill of the Hermonites and from the hill Miser. Deep calleth unto the deep at the noise of Thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. I will say unto God my rock, Why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a sword in my bones, my enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, Where is thy God? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. You can be seated tonight. It is evident that the psalmist was familiar with the events and the happenings that occurred at God's house. He calls to mind going with the multitudes to the house of the Lord. He remembers the songs of joy and gladness. He cherishes the fellowship. He remembers the warmth of God's countenance smiling upon his life. We find that in this psalm, the psalmist is not able to make his way to God's house at the present. For some reason or another, the psalmist has been kept from God's house, not by choice, but by providence. providence. He's not like a lot of Baptist folk. The reason a lot of Baptist folk aren't at church is by choice and not by providence. They choose not to be there. They'd rather go somewhere else other than together with God's people on God's appointed day at God's appointed place. And the enemy is mocking and making fun of the psalmist, and they are saying, where's your God now? You talk about going to the house of the Lord and remembering the holy day, and you talk of His countenance and the hope you have, and you've heard the noise at the waterspouts of God. But where's your God now? Where is it now? And the psalmist here is struggling, and he is looking, and he is yearning for the presence of the living God. He opens the psalm and says, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? The psalmist expresses his longing, his intense crave for the living God. He is not interested in ceremony or ritual. He is not interested in just talking the religious talk and going through a form and a fashion. He is interested in seeing the manifestation and the presence of the living God. He is longing to see again the Shekinah glory come and settle in the holies of holies and interrupt the work of the priest in the holy place and surround the congregation in the court of the tabernacle. Oh, he's wanting to see the living God move again in his life. Psalm is entitled to the chief musician. It is the choir leader of his day.
Yes, sir.
The music director.
Yes, sir.
And his name is Mashiel, and the psalm has been written especially for the sons of Korah to sing. The sons of Korah were members of the tabernacle choir, if you please. You say, well, preacher, what's so important about the sons of Korah? Well, the best I can see, they should never have been there had it not been for the mercies of God Almighty. They would have never had a place to have sung in the choir of God had not the Lord been merciful to their lives. You say, I don't understand. Well, you remember in the days of Moses when Korah led a rebellion against Moses and Aaron and challenged the authority of God Himself and said, why, every man of every tribe could be a priest. And who's left you in charge, Moses and Aaron? And you know what God done? God opened up the earth, swallowed up Korah and 250 of his cohorts, and it was nothing short of the mercy of God that all of Korah's children had not been slain and devoured in the earth. But God in mercy spared their lives, and they were
singing because of what God didn't do to them. I want you to know tonight I can sing because of what He didn't do to me. I should have went to hell. I deserve to go. I was on the brink of going, but God stepped into my life. Oh, brought deliverance. I've got a song to sing. Thank God for the Son of God. You better be glad He didn't do to you what you deserve. Some of you were right on the very brink of going to hell. Another service, you'd have been there. But thank God for that Sunday morning, that revival meeting night, when the sweet Holy Ghost stood between you and death and gave you an opportunity to look so you could have life. I say hallelujah. I've got somebody to sing about. I'm not a going to hell. I'm headed for heaven tonight. All on a string to the glory and honor of His name. He had every right to do it. He had every reason to do it. As a nobody, as a sinner was, and you were too. None of us good. None of us ever merited anything God's ever done for us. If we'd have got our just deserve, we'd have been swallowed up like Cor and his folks. But hallelujah, I'm glad He didn't swallow me up. He didn't let me go down. I'm glad I'm going up. Up, 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 up. I'm glad my future's looking brighter. Oh, bless His holy name. He's a yearning and a longing for God. You see, He is not only speaking about a note or notes of a song, but He's also expressing a need for His soul. And He's using nature to express to the Lord and to you and I how He is longing for the living God. He said, as the heart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. Now, there's a lot of things that you may think you need. And I may think I need for my life. There are folks here that says, well, I just believe we need a better Sunday school attendance. And I'm not against a better Sunday school attendance. Don't misunderstand me tonight. Others may say, well, we need a better offering. Or we need a more faithful attendance to the house of God on the Lord's Day. And I'm for all of that tonight. And still others may express and say, preacher, I really need a different job and different hours, and I really need the Lord's intervention in a certain matter of my life. And I'm not taking away from what you're facing in life, but I want to say tonight the overwhelming need that you and I have is we need the living God. And if we got a yearn and a desire for Him, a lot of those other things will fall into place. They'll work themselves out. They'll issue out of that yearn and that desire to see the living God. I mean, we live in a day when we've got Baptists interested in programs and seminars and, I mean, all kind of things. What's wrong with just getting hungry for the Lord? Jesus said, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. What's wrong with a longing and a yearning for the living God to be real in your heart and in your life? That's what we need in our churches. Three things. I'm done. I don't preach long. And I try not to lie. There is a comparison here between the heart of the deer and the longing that this psalmist has for the living God. I want to say, first of all, that the desire this psalmist had for God is an instinctive desire. It is something that is born within him. He compares himself to a hart or a deer. And when deer are born, they don't have to go to deer school to find out. They need to drink water. You don't have to send them down to the seminar. You don't have to take them somewhere and educate them on how important water is in their existence and in their lives. They have a desire for water that's born within them. You don't have to teach it to them. You don't have to lead it to them. No, there's something on the inside that wants that water. And I'm here tonight. When I got saved, there's something born in me. Something is speaking. I gotta have water. I gotta get to the water brook. And if we don't have that kind of desire, I don't know whether we know the Lord or not. It's instinctive. It's bred in him. He can't help himself. I mean, there's just a desire to go to the water brooks. Pardon me, but he don't want Pepsis or Coca-Colas. He wants water. And as much as I like Pepsis, I'm here to tell you tonight, the only thing that'll satisfy your thirst when you're hot and you're tired and weary is a good cold glass of water. That deer wants that water. It is born in him. And tonight there ought to be a desire of every child of God to get while the water brooks are. It's instinct. You see, the deer needs the water for refreshment. When that deer becomes tired and weary, he instinctively or she instinctively goes to the water brook and drinks from the water that they may be refreshed, its spirit may be renewed. And tonight there are folks in God's house who are weary and tired. The loads of life have drained you of your spiritual energies and You maybe are hanging your head, and your knees are weak, but you just need to get to the water brook and get your gut drink of water. I know where the water brooks are at. You say, preacher, where they're at? I'm glad you can find a water brook flowing in a good camp meeting. You can find a water brook flowing in the church house on Sunday. You can find a water brook flowing through the Word of God. You can find a water brook on your knees. Hey, some of us need a good drink of water.
We need it for refreshment. It is an instinctive desire. But secondly, it is also an intense desire. His heart is beating rapidly. If you could measure his blood pressure, it has risen. If you could feel his brow, you would feel a warmth. If you could see the cheeks of his face, there would be a redness. Because there is such an overwhelming desire for the living God. It is intense. You see, the psalmist here is facing the struggles of life. The world is mocking and making fun of his faith. They are ridiculing him for his love for God's house and God's people. They even accuse the God he serves of abandonment and forsaking him. He is longing for God. There's a yearn for the Lord. And amid the shaky ground of his doubts and fears, he finds solid ground holding him up. He's panning after not only God, but the living God. He's not interested in an idol. He's interested in God who lives and a God who loves.
Instinctive.
It is intense. You see, the deer not only needs the water brooks for refreshment, but he also needs the water brooks for remedy. Now, I know some of y'all are deer hunters. I tell them I went deer hunting one time. I've told you this, I probably before. I mean, they get up early before daylight and go out there and sit in the wind, the cold. I don't understand all that. I really don't. Of course, I can understand it's a good place to meditate and think on the things of God. Most of the time, you've got a lot of time because there ain't nothing coming by. I went one time in my life and I married her and I ain't a-going no more. She's my dear. But when that deer is wounded, when maybe an animal has gashed it in the side, or maybe that deer has taken an arrow from a hunter, and it has left the deer wounded, you know where that deer's going to run to? It's not going to run to the mountain. It's not going to run to the rock. It's going to run to the water. And it's going to lay that wound down in that water and let the rushing of that water wash out all of that pus,
all of that infection so that remedy may come. There's a lot of dead folk have been nurturing their wounds for a long time. Some of you got wounds tonight. You've tried to take them everywhere else but to the water brook. You ought to lay them down on an altar and say, Lord, here they are. Put the Holy Ghost in them and bring a healing about in my soul.
There runs to the water brook when it's full. Needs room. Number three. Not only is the desire instinctive and the desire intense, but his desire is also imperative. It's not an option. It is a must. It is not something that he can choose to do or not to do. It is something he has to do. It is essential. It is vital for the existence of his life. He's saying, give me the living God or I'm going to die. Show me yourself or I cannot survive. It is imperative. It is necessary that I see the living God. Nothing short of that's going to suffice. Religious exercise ain't going to do it. A little bit of singing and a little bit of shouting ain't going to satisfy the psalmist. He wants to see God move in His power. He wants to see some life-changing events. He wants some life-molding things to occur, not only in his life, but in the lives of others. I believe God's sick and tired of just us gathering together and having a meeting. We need to have a meeting that'll change us and do a work in our lives. How about a meeting? Something to the day Jesus came.
It's imperative. Our oldest child, Julie, she works for the Carolinas Medical Center in Charlotte, a major hospital of our area. She's a flight nurse on one of the helicopters. I ain't so wild about it. And her mama surely ain't wild about it. That's what she feels like the Lord wants her to do. She had to move out and move close to her work, and she bought a townhouse. We went with her, and for X amount of dollars, they give you a package deal. We went in and we started going room to room in their showroom, and the lady said, now this is what comes with what you purchase. But if you want to upgrade, you can have this. It's an option. You don't have to have it. But if you want it, it'll cost you. And if you pay for it, you can have it. It's not necessary for you to be able to live there, to have them, but it is an option. I'm trying to say tonight, the desire we have for the living God is not something we can opt to do or not to do. It is a must. We must have Him. We must have Him in our service. Oh, we can carry on with the machinery. We can sing our religious songs, but unless the sweet Holy Ghost smiles on what we do, it's all in vain. Brethren, we back to worship, and it's all in vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes.
It is necessary. You've heard the phrase, California or bust. That's how the psalmist is feeling. Give me God or else I die. Give me the living God or I cannot survive. You see, the deer not only needs the water brook for refreshment and for remedy, but the deer needs the water brook for refuge. That deer knows when it's being hunted by another animal or by a human being. That deer knows if he can get to the water brook. The scent can be lost in the water brook. That deer runs through that water for a length of time, going in and out, back and forth, and all the way down the stream. And his enemy is so confused, he don't know which way to go. He's lost the scent of the deer down at the water brook. You say, preacher, the devil seemingly has given me a hard time. I doubt seriously if it's him. Maybe some of his little imps are. But they may be on your trail tonight. They may be breathing down your neck. I tell you where you need to get. You need to go to jumping around in the water brook. You need to run in the water brook. And if you get in the water brook, he can't tell where you've gone. He can't trace you. He can't track you when you get down in the water brook. I just don't understand why God's people don't like the water. He said, I've got to have it. I can't live. You've surrendered to feelings a whole lot less worthy than that. Elijah, he got overwhelmed with depression. And he said, I just won't die. He said, I can't live. I've heard that. And I'm not taking away from the pressures and the cares of life. I know we all have them. And old Elijah despaired of life. But I've not heard anybody cry out an altar, oh God, I've got to have you or I can't live. I ain't heard that lately, have you? That's where the psalmist was at. He said, I've got to have the living God. I need to feel the warmth of your countenance again. I need to feel the freshness of your water.